And you recall in your Bible reading this week, we started, I believe, with reading Zechariah, the prophet Zechariah, and then we moved into the reading of Esther and went beyond. I don't know how many of you got to reading the book of Esther, but one of the things I like about the Voice Bible translation is it puts in the margin the actual name of the character who's doing the speaking. So in the Psalms, if it's David, it'll tell you David. If it's God that's speaking, it'll say the Eternal. If it's in the book of Esther, we get all these wonderful characters that we're introduced to as we learn the story of Esther. And wouldn't it be great? Come on, church, tell me the truth. Wouldn't it be great if we could have an actual character from the book of Esther come and share with us the story? Would that be cool?
Yeah.
I mean, if we could somehow reach into the Bible and dig out a character.
Yeah,
well, put your hands together for Mordecai.
Greetings, friends. I'm Mordecai. When I first talked to your wonderful pastor about 6 months ago about speaking to you, thinking to celebrate Purim at the proper time, but, you know, he wished to delay until you would be reading the story in your Bible reading program. I must say it's been interesting after a millennium or two of sleep to spend the last 6 months awake in your time and culture, a learning experience, to say the least. And one that helps me to understand why I am to bring this message to you at this time. You know, the prophets are not always happy about bringing their message. I remember my colleague, Jonah, for example, or Jeremiah. I was a bit cranky when the Holy One disturbed my rest to come and speak to you. And then to wait 6 months? Oy vey. But some people I've learned in my time here complain about the little story that God gave me about Hadassah, little star, because the name God is not mentioned in the story. But good Jews do not consider themselves worthy to use his name, not being holy themselves. However, in the intervening centuries, I've gotten to learn about the Messiah, the promised one, who has come, and how he can make us holy. So you'll forgive me now if I do refer to the Holy One of Israel, which I did not in my story. Of course, you already know how the story goes and how it ends, but maybe a few points escaped you. And Jews like to talk anyway. So I am here to share with you. Now Purim, the holiday that we celebrate on the Jewish calendar when the Jews escape destruction, is really a party. A celebration. And as I tell the story, I need your help, especially the children. In traditional Jewish families, when we tell the story, whenever the name of our arch enemy, Haman, comes up, the children hiss and make quiet boos. That's your part today. To properly tell our story, we have to go back a bit. The book of Shmuel, the story is told about King Saul and how he sinned by disobedience, refusing to completely wipe out the Amalekites. The Holy One told him to completely destroy the Amalekites, every last one, and their animals. Time won't permit us to tell that story, but you can read about it in the book of Shmuel, what you call 1 Samuel, in chapter 15. The important point is that an Amalekite survived. Saul made a pretty big mistake. Your pastor told me you've been studying about walking on the road. He got lost. Now let's move forward to the year 3282, what you call 479 BC. King Ahasuerus, my boss, had a pretty good year. Me? I was just a scribe, a Hebrew in exile, brought to serve the king when he had something he wanted recorded. Didn't pay much attention to me. But Ahasuerus, also called Xerxes, wanted to celebrate. In fact, he had a six-month-long party with all the princes and officials of the kingdom. Hadassah, or Esther, which is her Persian name, my cousin, her parents died when she was very young, and there was no one to take care of her. By Jewish law, as her closest relative, that blessing fell to me. You know, the blessings the Holy One gives you. Sometimes you wish he would bless someone else. But Hadassah, my little star, was a joy to me as she grew up, since I had no children. In the court of Xerxes, there were seven princes, kind of the king's seconds in command, if you will. At the party, Xerxes got the idea to show off his queen, Vashti. Now, ladies, if you were asked to come to a drunken party of men to be shown off like some horse, what would you do? Well, exactly. But the men provoked Xerxes to get rid of Vashti as queen, because she wouldn't obey. They started a search for a new queen. Meanwhile, a new prince, Haman, was promoted above all the other princes and had the king's favor. And guess what? He was a descendant of those Amalekites that should have been wiped out. He shouldn't have even been there. Putting him above all the other princes made him a little fool of himself. He wanted everyone to bow to him. And he tricked the king into making it an order. I bow only to the Holy One. So, evil Haman decided to get Xerxes to kill all the Jews, to wipe out all of Israel. For some of you, it might be hard to imagine a king with so much power. He could wipe out an entire nation with a stroke of a pen, or send you to banishment or death just because he felt like it, for angering him or getting him annoyed. But that's how it was. Xerxes could have someone killed on the spot. But you know, kings, they're really not so much. Xerxes could have learned a thing or two from Nebuchadnezzar, who thought he was equal to the Holy One. The Holy Book says, "Why are the nations in uproar, and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them, and he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury, saying, but as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain." When Esther's parents died, There's no reason Esther should have survived. No reason for her to be special, except that the Holy One had ordained it. You know, sometimes we wonder, what can one person do when we're walking down the road? I'm just one person. You know, there's all these forces arrayed against me or against our nation. What can one person do? You can see, she was chosen. She could have starved on the streets as a pauper, but the Holy One brought her into my care. It was ordinary. Things like that happen all the time. But the Holy One had great plans for her. He gave her gifts. He gave her beauty. He gave her a serving heart. She learned obedience. Without even trying, she attracted attention. Imagine our surprise, my wife and I, and our horror when she was taken from us to the king's harem. The little one that we had raised and cherished. Why had the Holy One blessed us with her, only to take her away forever? You know, when God is working in our lives, sometimes it seems that way. We've been given a blessing, and then for what? We think His blessings belong to us, but they are just loaned to us for a little while. We and Esther had a decision to make. It's kind of like when you're walking on your road and you come to a fork. You have to decide which way to go. You have to get directions. I know guys don't like directions, but you know, you have to get directions. We could try and run from the king and his edict, or we could stay and see where it would lead us, though it seemed like a disaster. I remembered about that time something that Solomon wrote in Proverbs 21. The king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it whichever way he wishes. So we decided to stay. Because of my position in the court, I was able to come and see her occasionally and communicate. But we decided that no one should know that she was related to me. Being a Jew isn't always a popular thing. Just as I hear that being a Messiah follower is not always popular in your time. So Esther fulfilled the first requirement of being used by the Holy One. She showed up. If you can't show up for duty, it's hard to be useful. We could have run, but we stayed. Often, we want visiting angels or bolts of lightning or amazing visions. But more often, He just wants us to show up. To stop being so wrapped up in ourselves that we make time, that we make ourselves available. Hadassah was just one little girl. She understood the risks. Taken into a pagan harem, possibly being cast aside, her life ruined. When another monarch comes to power, or one of the other women in the harem gaining power over her There's a lot going on when you have a group of 200 women, let me tell you. She had to wait in the harem an entire year, not knowing what would happen to her. And then, one night with Xerxes, everything hanging on one night. Would he even remember her name the next morning? Esther fulfilled the second condition for being used by the Holy One. She listened and prayed. She had a whole year to think about it. She could have spent her time in self-pity. She could have grasped desperately at all the human ways to make herself attractive. She could have shrunk from the challenge and made herself as insignificant as possible to assure that she would be passed over. But instead, she listened for the voice of the Holy One. She prayed. She took advice from Shashgaz and from me. Not all 18-year-old young ladies want to listen to their fathers. But my Hadassah, my little star, did not follow the corruptions of the pagan palace to change her. I understand some of you parents right now, you're wondering, your children that you sent off to university, that you're wondering what will happen to them. Pray for them. She stayed close to the Holy One, and even if we could only see each other once a month or so, and at great risk, she still listened. Then something important happened. You know, in Persia, murder is almost a national pastime. It wasn't uncommon at all for someone to come to the throne by killing the king. Power can be a precarious thing. Xerxes was one who ascended the throne peacefully after his father's death. Kind of an exception. But about this time, two of the palace guards conspired to kill Xerxes. I was passing through the main courtyard on my way to do something that I'd been told to do, and I saw them behind a pillar in the corner. Something about the way they were talking and looking at each other, it looked suspicious. So I went closer and listened. I heard their scheme and then urgently sent a message to Esther, who told the king. Esther was the only one I could trust. Who knew who else might be in on the plot? The king was enraged, and he hung those guards the same day. In those days, Esther was almost daily in the king's presence. So you see, because Esther showed up, because she listened and prayed, she was chosen. And she was in a position to help the king, who might otherwise have been murdered, as indeed later he was. The evil one comes to steal and kill and destroy. He's always had Israel and the Jews in his sights because they represent the chosen ones. The way that the Holy One wants to redeem the world out of his hands. Haman is just one in a long line of destroyers. Since I've been here, I've seen in your news, they continue to this day, with someone in Persia, what you call Iran, saying he will destroy Israel in 10 years. Who will the Holy One choose to save us this time? Will it be you? Men being men, and with so many other beautiful women at his beck and call, and a war to plan, you know, few things to do, Xerxes forgot about Esther for a while. She had grown to respect and admire him when vile Haman plotted to destroy the Jews. She had no access to him, and she was afraid. Her circumstances, despite the luxury of the palace, were not ideal. The problem with kings, you know, is they're a fickle lot. She wasn't sure where she stood with Xerxes, only that she was being ignored. But regardless of our circumstances, we must believe and trust that the Holy One has placed us just where He wants us. It may seem dangerous, ridiculous, even insane. He can't want me here, or He can't want me to do that. Esther had a bit of doubt to begin with, but then she fulfilled the third condition of being used by the Holy One. She believed and trusted. To go to Xerxes without being called was to risk her life. I'm sure none of you wives can imagine losing your head for just disturbing your husbands, though I've heard that during some games of what you call football, that might happen. Esther often told me later that waiting for that entire year, seemingly doing nothing, was just as stressful as going to the king, not knowing if he cared enough to save her life. When you let the Holy One place you where He wants you, and then do the job He has for you, you never know. For who knows but what you were called for such a time as this? Maybe you won't save a whole nation, but do you have a relative, a friend, a family member who's going through a crisis? For some of you, it may not be when there is not a family member going through a crisis. Have you considered that the Holy One may have uniquely placed you and gifted you just to help with that crisis? If even one person is saved, isn't it worth it? Maybe you'll save a family, a school, your parents, your siblings, or children. And so Esther fulfilled the fourth requirement of being used by the Holy One. She acted in obedience. She was scared. She half expected to die. The 3 days she spent fasting in preparation, mourning for the life she expected not to have. But in the end, that terrible Haman was defeated and hanged. Instead of being destroyed, the Jews triumphed and tore up their enemies Now, this is a little point, but Esther stood up. She was one person. She did what she was supposed to do. By doing that, she enabled all the other Jews to do what God wanted them to do. Sometimes when you stand up and you lead, then you enable others to follow and do what they're supposed to do. Now, what about Saul? He made a huge mistake. But the Holy One is capable of redeeming even the worst mistakes. What if you don't show up? The Holy One can find someone else. He doesn't need us. We need Him. If we fail to show up once, it isn't all over. Though we may miss a blessing, serving Him is our privilege. I'd like to tell you it was all smooth for Esther after that, but it wasn't. Her husband was eventually murdered, and I had gone to be with the Holy One. So she had years of loneliness and dodging harm. Being used of the Holy One does not always mean an easy life. But if you show up, you listen and pray, you believe and trust, and you act in obedience, then He will give you opportunities to serve Him and rest in His peace. Shalom.
A visit from Mordecai. So let me summarize my notes to see if they are the same as your notes from the teaching of this wise man. How many people would like to be used of God? That means you would be used by God. That would mean you'd be used for God's purposes, which may not be your purposes. Oops. So I say, oh God, I want to be used of you, by you, with you, through you, for whatever purpose you have for me. Amen? Amen? Show up, listen and pray, believe and trust, and act in obedience, right? And Mordecai did quote from the book of Esther when he said, for a time such as this. That's what Esther had to deal with. That's what you and I have to deal with. These are very strange times. Perhaps generations have been saying that. Maybe every father has said that when his son has gone off and done whatever. Maybe every mother has had to deal with that when the daughter has left home. Maybe it's a generational thing that we just see as time rolls on that, wow, these times are different. But I don't know about you, these times really seem different. Carol and I, personally, we feel that we were born at a very time of great blessing. Right as the World War II was ending, America went into this enormous prosperity. And we were raised, we think, in a time that we envy for our children. Because the days today aren't like they were for us. And yet, for a time such as this. So what is it, dear ones, that God is up to? Look in the sky tonight. Go out about 10 o'clock, whenever it's good and dark, get away from streetlights, and look at that big full moon. I looked at it last night. It was full, And it was white. And it was magnificent. Tonight it might be red. The fourth blood moon. In a tetrad of blood moons. It will not happen again till 2033. Many people all over the globe are thinking something special could happen with, to, through, by, whatever, with Israel this weekend or Monday. I am not prophesying anything except that you and I are called for a time such as this. And Mordecai nailed it. Your family, my family, our collective families, let's show up. What do you say?
Amen.
Let's show up. Amen. And let's look up. And let's be ready.
Amen.
Do you know Jesus?
Yes.
I mean, have you said out loud to Jesus, be my Savior?
Mm-hmm.
That would be a good thing to do. Amen?